July 9, 2006, it's a Walk from Pedro show.
Right. No, just hearing music.
People often ask me if I have any words of advice for young people. Words of advice for young people. Well, here are a few simple admonitions for young and old. Never interfere in a boy and girl fight. Beware of whores who say they don't want money. To hell they don't. What they mean is they want more money. Much more. If you're doing business with a religious son of a bitch, get it in writing. His word isn't worth shit. Not with a good lord telling him how to fuck you on the deal.
Advice for young people. Words of advice for young people.
Avoid fuck-ups. You all know the type. Anything they have anything to do with, no matter how good it sounds, turns into a disaster. Do not offer sympathy to the mentally ill. Tell him firmly, I am not paid to listen to this drivel. You are a terminal fool.
Words of advice for young people. Words of advice for young people.
Now, some of you may encounter the devil's bargain to get that far. Any old soul is worth saving at least to a priest, but not every soul is worth buying. So you can take the offer as a compliment. They charge the easy ones first, you know, like money, all the money there is, yeah, but who wants to be the richest guy in some cemetery? Money won't buy it. Not much left to spend it on, eh, Gramps? Getting too old to cut the mustard. How's a young body grass? Like three-card money, like the end of the shell. Now you see it, now you don't. Have you forgotten something, Grant? In order to feel something, you have to be there. You have to be 18. You're not 18. You are 17. Old fool sold his soul for a strap-on. Well, I would try the easy ones first. I'm an honorable partner. You always wanted to be a doctor. Well, now's your chance. Why, you could become a great healer and benefit humanity. What's wrong with that? Just about everything. There are no honorable bargains involving exchange of qualitative merchandise like souls for quantitative merchandise like time. Piss off, Satan, and don't take me for dumber than I look. An old junk pusher told me, watch whose money you pick up.
Words of advice for young people. Words of advice for young people. Words of advice for young people. Words of advice for
people often ask me if I have any words of advice for young people.
What from Pedro Show. Get that down there.
Get down there.
Get down there.
Old bull.
That's William S. Burroughs with advice for young people. Started off with John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. Or the other way around. Maybe because it's Monk's trio. Something just released. Session from 1957, April. Song called Crepuscula with Nelly. Crepuscula. Crepuscula. It's probably French.
The so
God, I've seen it written a million times. I feel retarded. I would just say that. Other than that.
Crepuscule.
Crepuscule.
With Nelly.
With Nelly. Okay.
That's the way I would.
That's a verdict. Brother Matt, where were we last night?
Last night we were at this cool little underground type of Sonic Youth jam.
Yeah.
It was righteous.
Kind of a kiln.
Yeah, a little kiln action. Not a lot of airflow. Yeah.
There's no airflow.
Old brick oven.
Should have had a flue. If we had a flue, then we could have really glazed it.
Yeah, the sweat box.
Yeah, but the Sonics played great.
Yeah, that was cool.
This band before them, Awesome Color from Ann Arbor, they were tough. Trio. Cat on a Kramer bass, aluminum neck.
Yeah, that was a really cool little scene.
I've never seen Thurston Sweat a shirt like that. Usually, like, yeah, he comes off the stage drier. Now that said, he even played bass in a song. What about that?
Yeah, they rocked.
He's playing way above the neck. A lot of high notes, huh? And then a lot of songs, two basses. They got Mark from Pavement to supplement. Of course, can't replace Jim O'Rourke, but... plays bass throughout the thing, and then Kim would double up with him.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Smoking.
Nice little place.
Yeah, downtown L.A. It's Long Beach Avenue, but it was not Long Beach. No. Sort of by San Pedro Street, which ain't San Pedro. It's way uptown. East side of downtown L.A., about 25 miles here from Pedro.
Been a lot of cool underground parties in that neighborhood.
You've been there.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we bring out our guests? We have special guests this week. We have guests.
Welcome.
Right. Jack Brewer from
Mike.
Originally from Wilmington, now of Long Beach.
Yeah.
Right. How are you, Jack?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Really good. Working hard.
He was wailing on the mic there.
Oh, yeah? You want to fix it for me?
Do some adjust.
Okay, it's a little...
That's okay. We'll calm down. You don't want to be picking it up.
You don't get a lot of tall people in here.
They'll be thumping. They'll be thumping. So, Jack.
Yeah. Well, you gotta get me talking, otherwise I'll clam up, Mike.
No clams. I just had to adjust the levels.
Okay, how's this?
I'm a little...
Okay.
Speed up, I did pedal my last one, because tomorrow I leave for Athens. Should be very sweaty. Anyway,
Rock
me and Jack Brewer go back way. Introduce your cousin.
Okay, also, cousin Joe Brewer.
Joe Brewer here from Madison, Wisconsin.
We're doing a reading today also in L.A.
Oh, you got a gig.
Yeah. I tell you where.
All right.
Okay, it's the place is called, put my glasses on. Place is called Antiqua Cultural Coffee House. I can't pronounce that word, so I guess I'm lacking the culture. But
well, maybe you can spell it, Jack.
Okay. Antigua. So maybe after I read there, I'll get the culture I need. But it's on 4836 Huntington Drive South, Los Angeles. If you need information, you'll call 323-666-2421. And for directions, you call 323. It's kind of boring, huh?
I
get this over with. 936-9422.
Jack, let me help you with this, too. What time are you reading?
What time? Reading at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
3:30 sign
so
up.
I got
open
news
reading.
For you, man. I don't even know if the show will get up in time. I'll try as soon as we get done, but
okay.
I don't even know dudes will be able to hear it in time. You know, as soon as we get done, I'll get it all stitched up and up on the server. But
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's
but anyway, what's good to know is
we've
that
been there.
You're reading with your cousin.
Yeah.
If you've been doing more and more poem, no, you know what? Let's start from the beginning. Where did you meet?
Where did I meet you? Oh.
I got
thank
it.
Mike.
Stumped him.
I know, you're like God. You were just always there.
Do you remember trying it out for those that don't know, Jack Brewer made a band with Joe Baez called Saccharine Trust, which probably is the only SST band still going.
From those old days, the only ones.
Do you recall a time a spastic bass player from Pedro trying out for Saccharine Trust?
Yeah, I remember back then you were spastic, hyper. And same thing, you're a lot nicer guy these days than you were back then.
Right.
Okay, no, because, you know.
But anyway, I tried out for the band.
Oh, you didn't make it. Right? No, you didn't make it. You played too many notes.
Yeah. Was there a discussion between you and Joe?
No, Joe makes decisions.
He just made a signal with his eyebrow and you saluted.
I just do what he tells me to do. And,
okay. Even back then?
He's
the Meister.
Absolutely. That's been my understanding from the beginning.
And you guys went and got Lewis, I think.
Yeah, Lewis from
Who was another Pedro bass player.
Yeah.
And in fact, the drummer too, Richie Wilder.
Richie Wilder.
So you had a San Pedro rhythm section.
And you actually pushed us to do our first gig as a party.
See, I'm not a bitter man.
No. You were very influential.
This was in the late '70s, '79, I think. In fact, your first recording is on the cracks of the sidewalks, right?
Yeah, the first time meeting you was at D. Boone's apartment.
Upstairs from Joe Bison.
Yeah, well, you came downstairs, and you was like this. D. Boone was just like, forthcoming, like, happy, nice guy, and you were just kind of quiet, and you kind of just sitting, tapping your foot. Just kind of like smiling, and you guys are talking all this intellectual jargon stuff, and you know, I'm just some guy, say, high school, and hung around the subculture. I didn't understand any of the stuff. I failed history miserably, so I couldn't get in on any of the conversation or anything. And
this was after smoking, why?
Huh? Who knows? You know.
No, you had already been through that phase.
Yeah. Then you guys played the tape for me from the band you were in before the Minutemen.
Reactionaries.
Yeah, I said, I was telling you these are pretty good songs. Who wrote these? And you just kind of shook your head. And I said, oh, you're pretty good songwriter. And you just said, no, I'm not. They're terrible. But I thought they were really good. No, that's when I was really impressed. This guy can really put chords together. and then we were starting our bands at the same time, and we can be a little sluggish and stuff, but because of Mike constantly pushing us, we actually did get together and start gigs. The reason he actually tried out for us. Not because he really wanted to play for us, but he just wanted us to get out there. Yeah. he didn't want to, you know.
Because it was Joe and Jack.
Yeah.
They definitely were going to have a band. In fact, they had another name before that.
Oh, yeah, the Obstacles.
Obstacles.
Yeah, I started off as a lead guitarist.
When I tried out for the Obstacles. I didn't actually try out for Saccharine Trust.
It was called the Obstacles.
And it was basically just to get them going because it was such a concept, and I knew all they needed was some dudes to play with.
Yeah, and they were like the only band out here. They were doing weird music and stuff, so they were pretty lonely. And it gets that way with me with the poets and such. I'm trying to get more poets to do their poetry in front of music because I'm the only one doing it, and I can't be on everybody's band.
And this is 25 years later.
But thankful, there's Dennis Cruz out there, and he's really kicking ass. And there's Dan McGuire and S.A. Griffin.
Yeah.
We have a show next Saturday at Mr. T's. Joe and I have this other improvised project. Yeah.
You played last time.
Yeah.
Get closer on you.
Okay. Yeah, the improvised project called to...
Sit on that cushion. That Love Grotto cushion.
Okay. Yeah, it's called the Lofty Canaanites.
Yeah, because you're closer. Too far away.
Yeah, and it's called the Lofty Canaanites. It's just an improvisation, but we have four different poets this time. It would be S.A. Griffin and Paloma from the Sharpies, one of my favorite bands, and me and Joe Brewer. Yeah. It should be pretty cool.
And the first recording I think Sacra did was for Cracks in the Sidewalk.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah, it was
called World Ending.
No, it's called Hearts and Barbarians.
Hearts and Barbarians.
I actually brought that with me.
Maybe Cracks in the Sidewalk. What was that song?
Yeah, the one in Cracks in the Sidewalk is called Hearts and Barbarians. And that
was what's the one on Chunks then?
Chunks is Christmas Cried.
That's right.
Yeah. That was just something.
So I don't know what I'm thinking of. World Broken. Improvised. Oh, that's what's happening.
That's you.
All jumbles.
Right. Yes.
That was big. They had a bass player, an excellent bass player.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff going on there. Was Earl Liberty?
Fretless. No, it was a Fretless.
Oh,
guy.
Bob Fitzer.
Bob Fitzer, excellent. And the day before the gig, he cowered.
Yeah.
So Jack and Joe called me, and it's the only time I've ever worn a tuxedo.
Yeah.
I've read in tuxedos.
Yeah, and
the caves.
The first pressing of the record, Joe Caducci put in his name as Michael Watt.
Yeah, my so mother calls me.
When the lyrics were all screwed up, so we had to adjust them. And on a adjusted lyric sheet, we wrote, only his mother calls him Michael.
No, but those good old days. I mean, how many punk bands were there from Wilmington?
Okay, at that time... See, there was a Plebes.
Plebes and Pedro. They had Gino Busta.
Yeah, but there was a Wilmington bass player. Lena played bass.
That's right.
And she had a band with two twin sisters from Hollywood.
Oh, that was Pure Group you're talking about.
Yeah, Pure Group. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
Plebes were with Martin Temburovich, Ken Starkey, and Gino Busta. And they had a drum machine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sax and guitar. I know because they got the room really stoked up for us at Croatia Hall. So the eggs were flying big time by the time we went up.
And the slivers, man.
Slivers was Greg Hurley.
Oh man, that guy did some great poetry. I wish he'd wake up and come back and start doing it again.
He's on those compilations too. We had a label called New Alliance Records, and the first records we put out were compilations of our friends and peers and. Sacred Trust, Slivers, Black Flag, Minuteman.
Yeah, it was fun. I remember the days of just having a test pressing and not being able to believe, like, gosh, I was actually part of a vinyl record and played on my little stereo, little cheap stereo in my bedroom. But that's not
But
important.
You actually played before you met Joe Bizzo with a guy named Marshall Mello.
Yeah, we were starting a band.
In fact, one of the tracks ended up on another New Alliance compilation called Mighty Feeble.
Yeah, I played lead guitar. I started as lead guitarist.
What was that song?
The song was called Jesus Stop Shaking the Stars.
Yeah.
And Marshall wrote it, and I did lead. Yeah, he was a really good singer. That time we had a lot of these four songs, and this before Blondie and that. The New York scene started hitting it. California. We're doing what was probably New Wave or something, which we didn't know it was. We thought we were doing like 60s. And see, we didn't have drums. We played parties with acoustic guitars, so you had to hit the
strum hard
in the fourth beat. You would make a noise on your guitar because you didn't have the drums, and we would play. We would play parties.
This is before you ever went to a punk gig when you were playing with Marshall, right?
Yeah, and we would do like these fast.
So how'd you find out about punk gigs?
I guess I saw the Ramones in interview, and Joe was talking about, saying how the Ramones are the greatest band in the world, and I thought,
Joe Bison.
Oh no, Joey Ramone.
Joey Ramone was saying his band was
So I thought, if he's that confident, I better check him out. So I got the first record, and then the Sex Pistols, and I got that. My roommates at that time couldn't stand the Sex Pistols.
So that's why you liked them.
Yeah. Well, they were listening to Waylon Jennings. Also, a lot of Frank Zappa back then. My roommate loved Zappa. And I think that kind of...
Harshed him?
Yeah, it kind of slipped into
Harshed
me.
Harshed his mellow.
Yeah, we listen to Zappa every single day, and I think it entered my subconscious in a way. So then when I heard the Minutemen, it sort of made sense to me. Punk mixed with these weird rhythms, because I already had all this B-fort and stuff in the back of my brain.
And then it was a really intense, us both meet Black Flag.
Yeah. I first heard of them. I was working with Joe Biza at a junk mailing house, and he had just gone to the Polywog pawn gig with Keith Morris, and he recorded on a cassette, so he's playing his cassette for me at work, and he would also play cassettes of the Screamers a lot. That's a band we used to before we started Saccharine Trust, and so I went to start Ramon, Sex Pistols band, try to be Johnny Rotten. I was going to call myself Jack Snatch something, but then Joe wouldn't
gig?
Go for it. He went for the artsy things, and so we kind of compromised.
Do you remember your first gig? Was it with Joe Biza?
My first gig...
Punk gig that you went
to. My first gig I ever played was with
that you went to, first punk gig.
Oh, yeah, it was the Joe Biza... No, it was years before. It was in the pier. It was with my friend Alex, the guy who infected me with Zappa. It was at Redondo Beach Pier. And Black Randy was
Metro
playing.
Squad.
Yeah, and the Metro Squad, and I kind of understood, and I didn't understand it, and I went up to the van, and I reminded Xene about this later, but she never remembered this. But I asked her, I said, "Why are you guys doing this?" And she said, "Well, because we don't want to work in factories all our lives." Ooh. Yeah.
Did you pogo?
Huh? Yeah, we started pogo.
Semi-pogo?
Yeah, we used to do pogo. That was fun. Then the slam came in. And that was
not
too,
as good.
No, it was too rugged. I like jumping up
now, Saccharine Trust, like we said, Black Flag comes into our lives. They actually, your first four tours or something were with Black Flag.
Oh, yeah. It was gracious of them. Really nice of them to take
Did you
us.
Have any idea of touring before you did touring?
No, I didn't. You said we were... Never the guys who were really good at doing footwork and such and had a crap together. We were good at working on songs and such, but unless someone else did it for us, we never do it. But we did the first four tours with Black Flag. Even to this day, I used to lay in back of the van with the side window open, and air would blow in my face. And that's how I would sleep at night. So even today...
Better than farts blowing in.
Oh, yeah. I always had the wind blowing in my face. It just felt really good, the energy of the wind hitting my face.
Yeah.
So at night, I always have a fan right next to my bed.
Ah, so it was like at home.
Yeah. And I have to have wind hitting my face so I can sleep, because I remember that, because that was, being on tour, that was the best sleep I've ever had in my life. So it brings me back to that. And
even the touring with Mugger, there was a small sick wind in your face.
Yeah, even though I wake up in early through construction. But, you know, there was a time I'd be bitter about working and such, but I realized life is work. No matter what you do, you can't get away from work, even if you play music.
Did you tell Xene this?
I didn't know this then. Yeah, she probably realizes it now. I mean, even like when we did that thing in England, and I thought it would be like a vacation. We had three shows, but no, you don't get any sleep. You get dragged out of bed after being up to 3 o'clock to some sound check. You're sitting waiting for, and then sound man doesn't show up too much later. But with Biza, if it's on the contract, you have to be at this time. So it's After like the
it's
end of the week,
not just with bice, that's with what too.
Yeah, I know you learned that from, but but like I couldn't wait to get back to my routine again. Something I
what?
Getting up in the morning, working my construction under the hot sun, and not worrying about having a jog or anything, or worrying about schedules or dealing with flaky people. I like knowing where I'm going to be during the day, and I'm really happy to be able to do music still on the weekend, and I'll probably do it for the rest of my life. But I don't fool myself anymore thinking that if I made a living out of this, it would be any different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just work. Life is just work. That's the kind of first poem I would probably read is about
that. Can you read us a poem, Jack?
Oh, sure. Excuse me. It's okay to do this stuff when. Okay, I'm nervous. You can't see me, but I am. Okay. Take a deep breath. I was told to do. So take a deep breath. It's called Birthing the Ancestors. Sun crawls out from its eastern shift, leaving Magellan to die and Dardanelles at last. For the Ket who sweat dreams, they may swim or sail from soon. Then reality shores, daylight, the cool pale night. Old men, 20 years nearing death. Oh, but the fish are biting today. But you, my son, in your school heart will be happier. You need only read the Psalms of Solomon to know we are sadder than wise, and our eyes are liable to all they are open to. So tear your heart from the window. Your teacher living talks to you now. Our teachers are ghosts, phantoms. Heart is intent. Soul is ego. Who must have known hard shoes are needed for a hard journey? Our design is a continuous one. For the children of our creation who are so demanding of attention. Now this is the sun speaking. Until I know why I've chosen this path so rugged, brutalizing my confidence, weakening muscles in the pretense as if to strengthen my spirit. But why, I ask, as I scavenge, scorning pride, impoverished, belittled in flesh, to preserve thoughts with what mind is left, because the children of my creation are so demanding of attention.
Yeah. Cool. Very good.
Yeah.
Very demanding.
Thank you.
When did you write your first poem?
It's actually a Christmas Cry, actually. I think.
Christmas Cry,
yeah.
On Chuck's compilation, New
Yeah.
Alliance.
I think I was 17. I started writing poems before, but they were pretty awful.
Well, they're still poems, they're just bad
ones. Yeah. I still write those, too.
I didn't ask you when you wrote your first good poem.
Okay.
I stunk it up. I still continue to stink it up.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's hard to tell. It's a continuum.
Yeah. It goes on.
But did you ever see the connection between poems and music? Because you're talking about doing poetry in front of music nowadays. Back then when you were writing poems, obviously it was after you started doing the band.
Yeah.
Were they separate realms in your mind?
No, they started song lyrics. I went to write.
So you think song lyrics in a way are like poems?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there are poems that are, I guess, less lyrical, or maybe they're not written with music in the minds of the writers. But a lot of writers I know write to music.
Yeah, what was your process? Did Joe Baeza, he obviously was responsible for music a lot of times, right?
Well, I think as I was singing a lot, and
then you make the music to your singing.
Yeah, and at that time, what was the standards of whatever? I guess how should I put this? Okay, these days, people are more open-minded or accepting of what a singer is and what a singer can do. We're at a time where you had to hit every single note and such, so singing was discouraged. So and because of that, I couldn't hear myself, and I couldn't hit every single note, so I would kind of like half sing or half talk to songs, and
so the music had to kind of take a back seat to the meanings of the words.
I guess, but I think they complemented each other. Oh, yes, the word sympathetic. People more sympathetic these days. You know. They don't want to hear a violin coming out of a human voice. They want to hear a human voice.
Who was the influences on you?
Well, I guess probably Bob Dylan at the beginning, because I was so nervous when I was a kid. My father hated my singing, so I thought, wow, I can probably do this. And so that's when I started concentrating more on lyrics. So they forgive his singing because of his lyrics.
The meaning of the word.
Yeah, but these days I understand his singing more, and it some of these songs cannot be sung any other way than the way Bob Dylan. When these people did these really lame covers of Bob Dylan songs,
yeah,
that's what they are. They're just lame. Covers.
More like the birds.
Yeah, the Bob Dylan songs really need the theater of the voice, the human voice that kind of knew something that maybe you wanted to know, that, and it was more all emotion. You know, the music can work with the voice, and forget about what was taught in music school. They weren't all these separate entities where you just showed up, looked at the music sheet, and did your part, not ever knowing the person sitting next to you,
right.
You know, like these wedding bands do and such. No, but you had to have an actual human connection with the music, making up for each other's strengths and
compensating.
Yes, compensating, so, and to explore.
Well, Joe Baeza obviously was your soulmate with creating.
What
was the process?
Yeah. And I guess it worked out for us because he was just learning guitar then. And I had no intentions of being a singer, because when I first started, this guy Marshmallow was a really good singer, and his voice with our song, that we're going to turn us into rock stars. But what happened?
Was there an idea to have him part of Saccharine Trust?
No, Joe joined that band. And that band was a band I've been working with for years and years. It took years to save up the money to buy equipment, work two jobs one summer, full-time jobs just to buy a guitar. And we finally had the equipment, and we started a band, and then I met Joe Baeza, and he wanted to come and check our band.
How'd you meet Joe
Baeza? A brother of a girlfriend. I was going out with this girl, Irene Montez. Wherever you are, Irene. Hello. I was a foreman at this junk mailing house, and I was told this guy needed a job. So I met him at Paul Urias' house. We had gone over for dinner and a performance of a guitar that Paul Urias was going to do, and that was really strange music to me. Anyway, Joe Baeza came up to me and said, "Hey, I heard you get me a job." I just kind of looked at him and said, Yeah, you're hired, okay.
That's how you met him, by getting him a gig.
Yeah. So we worked on the labeling machine and talked.
You'd like talk at work about music?
Yeah, and that time K-Rock was playing punk rock and local bands and playing the Plugs and even my friend's band. Vince had a band that did a Devo, a copy of a Devo song, which was a parody of a Devo song, and they actually got a letter from people from Devo telling them to stop doing that song. They had to cease and desist. So those guys, did kind of have sticks in their butts. We talked about music and Joe punk, and because I was really interested in punk, though Marshall wasn't. He was interested in new wave and pop music.
Also, there was a division.
Yeah, but we're going to start this band. We're working on it really, really, really hard. We want to be like the Beatles. But Joe infiltrated the band and started to make it more and more punk. Or just wanted to make it more artistic, put a little more art into the band, more surrealism into the band. Because that's a part of the Beatles that Marshall missed. He never got that these guys hung out with artists.
Joe
Baeza understood that. Tried to convince Marshall of that and kept pushing him. Also, Joe wanted my place as lead guitarist. He wanted to play, he kind of started pushing me on a bass. Joe started.
I play bass.
I was just pushed to the bass. I knew how to play the bass. But excuse me, a drink. See, I was pushed to the bass. But Marshall just couldn't handle the punk and the haircut. He wouldn't shave.
Important
bass. Yeah, really important. I had to cut our hair. I had long hair and a beard and shave our beards. Marshall wouldn't shave his mustache. The only compromise he made was a Hitler mustache. And he sent a picture of himself to this girl.
Charlie Chaplin.
So he sent a picture of himself to this girl that he liked, and now she just freaked out. And I remember when I got the news, just working on new songs, I was sitting in my bedroom reading the Beatles biography, getting all excited. But finally got the band going and was reading Beatles biography. Worked really hard. We were ready to play 7-8 songs. Right while I'm reading the book, Marshall walked in and tells me he quit the band. I know.
It was a heartbreak.
Needless to say, I never finished that book. I just closed it. Then,
it was a bummer.
Yeah, so Joe, we're talking about what we're going to do.
He harshed your mellow.
Yeah, so he talked me into being the singer. And mind you, well, a few songs I sang in the other band, these other guys hate it. We had a drummer who also had a really good voice, too. He wasn't a drummer. But we made him play drums because we didn't want to have some guy stand up and be lead singer.
Seem to be a lot of people making people do
stuff. Yeah, I'm getting off track. So at first I started answering ads actually from the Recycler.
Whoa!
And one of the ads, some guy from the Mamas, his name was Greg. Miles had just broken up, and he started starting a new band. And I told him, I got a friend who plays guitar, but wasn't interested in. So I mailed him some of my lyrics, and he just said, "No, the problem is your lyrics just kind of sound like you're 12 years old or something."
So it was a compliment.
Yeah.
No, but you weren't discouraged. You just said wrote them off, right?
No, so those were words. I sent them the lyrics to I Am Right, actually.
Oh, wow. Which was an early Saccharine Trust song.
One that was covered by Sonic Youth, and, you know. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah. That reminds me of Pagan Icons, because it's a song on there. And that was your first album.
Yeah.
Was kind of involved.
Yeah, a lot of those were songs that I played completely on guitar. Right after Marshall left, I started writing a bunch of songs and Community Lie and I Have, which were all chords then. And I showed them to Joe. He told me just to play the sixth string, the top note, and forget about the chords. And he started putting different things to them. And I was kind of weirded out by it. And, you know, I said, "You know, how are we going to become a popular punk band by doing this?" And which my answer was, "We wouldn't." Know that then. But it started to make sense to me. And we start going to L.A., I start wearing the artsy clothes, and then I started have different visions of
right. What
it's going to do.
You got this Pedro Rhythm section.
Yeah.
What was the first gig for Saccharine Trust?
Okay, it was at a backyard party that you set up. We didn't have a name yet. Joe didn't want to use the obstacles. So you said we had to come up with a name right now. Yeah. I was sitting in my van, and I was thinking of the David Bowie song, Saccharine and Trust, had it written down.
Yeah, right.
The van, and Joe said, "Well, just take out the word and, turn the word saccharine to an adjective, and you have saccharine trust." And they said, we just use this the first time, first gig, and come up with something better.
Oh, this is making me think. Was David Bowie an influence?
Oh, yeah.
What about Jim Morrison?
No, he was later. I started listening to Doors later. Beginning, I thought that when I first listened to Doors, I just thought the vocals were just too monotonous. But later on, when it was Henry Rollins who actually got me listening to the Doors. Dylan Bowie. Yeah, Dylan Bowie and Lou Reed and Iggy Pop, and those are people I knew of because of because of Bowie and Velvet Underground,
right?
And Stooges.
So the backyard party, you have to have a name. You take saccharine and trust, and you pull out the word "and."
Yeah, and turn to adjective. So I guess the way we came up with that.
Right, because you were pushed into it because you had to play the gig.
Yeah.
What was the gig like for you?
It was a gay party. Gay men.
Yeah.
Really nice people. And there was this guy wore short pants and cowboy boots. And,
yeah.
But it was strange. I saw this guy, like, I ran to this guy like 15 years later. He didn't have the with Spiegels and cowboy boots. He didn't have that then. And I guess he wasn't gay anymore. He'd just gotten out of, just gotten out of prison. He was just rugged guy with all these tattoos and stuff.
Wow.
Same name, same person, but different.
I remember there was candles that were shaped like bananas that stabbed into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy
was
going after Georgie with the candle.
And the clothes in there.
This. It was a gay party, but it was in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think there'd be a lot of gay. So for you people, Wilmington is the town next to San Pedro. We share the harbor along with Long Beach.
Yeah, remember the punk dress code, the way we would dress with the slacks and the weird checkered shirts and the funny haircuts. Had any race ahead hairdo.
Yeah.
Long piece hanging out the back of my head.
And,
most people in Wilmington thought that I was gay too, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't even had sex then, so I thought I was straight. Like, well, Yeah, I guess I am.
I totally remember that gig. That was your first gig. I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was our first gig. That,
oh, wow. That was great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Because that was an early Minuteman gig, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You remember your first gig? I remember the first Minuteman gig.
Vanguard's art gallery.
Yeah, when you had the other drummer.
Greg Ginn.
Yeah, Greg Ginn was standing outside, and I dragged him. I said, Greg, come on, you gotta come in and see this guy. And he came in to watch you guys. And
well, you know, the Reactionaries actually opened for them, but we weren't.
Oh, really? Oh.
And it was a much different band in a way, even though three and four's guys. Well, actually, not because Tarnchi wasn't in the band, so half the guys were from the Reactionaries. But we had reworked all the songs. It's more what you. Actually, when we played you that Reactionaries, that was stuff that was already in the past, because that's the apartment where we start Minuteman.
Oh.
In fact, no drummer. We didn't even have Tarnchi yet. So we write the first batch of songs without amplifiers, just the guitars. And to hold the beat, we'd have to stomp on the ground. So Joe Bison thought these crazy guys lived upstairs and were just dancing away. He thought it was dancing. He couldn't, because the guitars didn't have amps. So he couldn't hear the guitars. He just heard all this, you know, stomping, trying to keep the beat. And he thought we were dancing. I remember what really impressed me about Joe Bison first meeting him. Because I would see him at gigs. He's a very distinctive guy.
Yeah.
You could tell him out of all the other punk rock. Well, those days it was easier to tell punk rockers apart because they were more unique. Yeah, you had your Eraserhead thing. Everyone had more of a unique, singular thing.
Joe
Bison had his look. But I remember talking with him. And he 27 years old, which was kind of an older guy, right, for those days. And he's teaching himself guitar at 27.
Yeah.
I thought it was so amazing and really enamored me onto the scene where guys were doing stuff like this, you know, not just waiting until they could play Black Dog, Led Zeppelin. You know, they're just going for it.
It was strange then, really.
Yeah.
Really strange.
Really strange. So let's get to the Pagan Icons.
Yeah. Okay.
The first, because it ends up being SST 003.
Yeah.
Right after the Minuteman Paranoid time. No, 004.
I think it's 006, actually. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Four is Jealous Again. What's five? Punchline? It might be,
Okay, so
it's after Punchline. It was made in the winter of 80.
Yeah.
I remember you guys made it right around Punchline at the same studio that we did, Media Art.
Well, you remember Punchline.
I came in.
Well, you remember Punchline was pressed accidentally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at that time, they didn't have them. They recorded us and signed us. But for a couple of years, they put us out. So we were waiting, hoping that we could get. We couldn't get gigs. Neither one of us could get gigs or anything. Just waiting.
But the record was actually recorded really early around Punchline time.
And then there was a. They called in the press to order some more copies of Jealous Again, and someone made a mistake with the numbers, and they pressed Punchline.
Yeah, which was 005.
Yeah, I was so excited when that happened. I thought, it was cool, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they'll screw up again and we'll get paid. Yeah.
So where I was introduced to that first.
By that time, they had already lost a bass player. Is Lewis on that first one?
No.
It's
Earl. Yeah.
A Manhattan Beach.
We lost a bass player before we recorded Pagan Icons.
Right.
Lewis went to hang out with the Oziers.
Right. That's right. Oziers. Those are the kids that are spitting on us in that Starwood in the Jamaicano. And I get really mad at one of them. I recognize the singer. Because we had just gotten a gig with him here in Pedro, and it was like, and I go, where's your band? But if you don't know what it is, it's like retarded. What's this guy talking about? I recognize him, and I go, where's your band? Because, you know, we just played with you. Why are you spitting on us now? It was really funny, too, because they would take turns. They'd run in this oval, They come spit at you and run back and get the loogies back up in their mouth. You know, they'd have to make a little loop so another guy was like a Gatling gun. And then this guy, but you know, I spit on people. You get some beers in you. It's kind of, I remember spitting on Jella and having to see that loogie.
Oh, shoot.
Shacking the whole night. So I probably deserved every loogie I got. I didn't spit a lot, but I remember doing it sometimes.
Yeah, I guess I missed the spitting part. I mean, there was something I managed to dodge and I moved. Well, because you had to hold the guitar, you couldn't jump around as much. So bass, and I usually was able to dodge
you
it.
Yeah.
Walk out there and confront them.
Did you Hey Joe, do you have a little? Let's Joe read a short poem.
Sure, Joe, come here.
We're almost at the end of the first hour. Let you get you in here with a little poem from your new book, the new chapbook by Joe Brewer.
Is it your turn?
Oh, the chapbook. You want me to read from?
It's called Roller Derby Rocks. Yeah. Read Pivot for us there. Go over there on Jack's mic. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Joe Brewer here. Oh, man. Got any reading glasses?
You wrote it, Joe.
Yeah, I got it reduced, too. No, I can't read it.
So you could fit it in with all the roller skates.
Yeah, exactly. Pivot. Pivot leads the pack. Head out strong for the attack. Skate out on the line. Lead the blockers, jammers fine. Get down and set the pace. Gonna dominate this place. She is a roller derby master. A good one no one gets past her. Inspire the blockers to form a wall and let us send out your jammer to take it all. Roller derby is an exciting thing when she sends them out on a fling. Slow or fast like a jet, she's the one, you bet. Madison Sanity, 3206.
Thank you. And what you've been doing the last three seasons? You've been a mascot for a roller derby team?
Yes. Kind of have my face painted and kind of jump around with signs and get the crowd excited.
This is Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What's the name of the team?
Well, my team was the Vaudeville Vixens, and they won three different victories this last season.
Wow.
But they came in for third place.
Were they robbed?
No, they fought well for that third place.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about being a mascot for a roller derby team?
Oh, just being able to be goofy, you get out. It's kind of insane. You just get out there and have to get people excited about the Vaudeville Vixens.
Is it like a gig?
Yeah, a little bit. Got to be straight about it. You got to watch yourself because there's flying skaters. You don't really want to go around when the skaters are going on the track.
Yeah. What do you do to keep in shape?
Not much. I should ride my bicycles more and go walking more. I'm kind of out of shape.
You got a tattoo here.
Yeah, my Minutemen tattoo.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It should say really just Minutemen, right? It's not the Minutemen?
No, we said the Minutemen sometimes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right.
Tell the origins of the tattoo.
So it's not really wrong then?
Yeah, I remember when you showed it to me at a gig.
I wanted to be
right
like
when you got it.
I wanted this to be like Navy lettering, you know?
Sure. San Pedro?
Yeah.
You really misspelled it at first, Joe?
Yeah, the guy spelled it wrong and I missed it, and it said Minuet Man.
Oh.
So I had to have part of it lasered out.
You had to laser it out?
Yeah. Part of it. I spent some money on laser treatment.
Oh, man.
But I had it, so it's
that guy saw this guy in Europe on his back, like Henry with the Search and Destroy.
Oh, yeah.
but the guy misspelled it and put search in Detroit. And I go, you know, it says, and before I could even get the word out, he was like, I know. Like at least 1,000 people have already told him.
Bring a dictionary to it.
And these are big letters. I mean, this is whole bad. Search in Detroit. Maybe meant Detroit.
My sister told me this story about these three bikers wanted to have Satan's sons drawn on their arms, you know, tattooed on their arms, and this guy wrote Stan's sons on all three of them.
His name was probably Stan.
That was his Santa.
They were trying to sue him.
Wow. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour of the July 9, 2006 edition of Watt for People Show. Hang tight for hour two. July 9, 2006. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
guy say? A roof, a roof. Ladies? Guys? Ladies? Guys? Are you guys ready for huddle formation? Are you ready for huddle formation? We're going to have to wait till after the next song. We're going to play you a new one from the Goatee. It's not on the album, so we're getting a bonus track tonight. We're going to play you The Ice Storm.
Watt from Pedro show. That was Akia Kani.
Sure.
Is that what we would decide? Yeah. with the song 1945. Before that, some Live Goat Team with Ice Storm. Then Live Wire from 1978. Or 77, maybe. Cover, Glad All Over. Just to prove that Wire had a sense of humor. They weren't all that serious. And we started out the second hour with a pick from Mr. Jack Brewer, Sturgis Meredith by the Sort of Quartet. Jack, you want to tell us why you picked that tune there?
I just love Sort of Quartet and anything that Mario and Gary...
No, but you were telling me you're going to be recording.
Oh, yes. In a couple of weeks from now, I'm going to record an album with Mario... from Fatso Jetson and Gary Orsi, and also Greg Ginn played bass on it, and a drummer, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but he plays in Chuck Dukowski's sextet, and I'm also getting some help from some other poets. Dennis Cruz wrote a couple of poems for me to do, and I got a poem from Steve Abey.
When do you think that'll come out?
Also S.A. Griffin. It's supposed to be released in Spain sometime next year. They say they're all waiting on me, but
okay.
They recorded at the beginning of May. I didn't get the tape till the end of May. So,
speaking of fellow poets, we got a buddy of yours from Long Beach, Joey Coffin.
Absolutely.
Here. Joey, will you read us a poem?
Well, sure. This is called Number 89. The lizard ate the chili sitting near the cactus that day. Spouting talk that bordered on the incomprehensible in every way, yet gasping and grasping at the wisps of the infinite. He set up a stained glass window in that cactus and he gave a little sermon. Heaven is only for half an hour, then the life on the earth turns sour. Philosopher idiots in lactic lament play heed to burglars encased in cement, jogging round tracks of useless hymen. Putting their wishes around the bend, using other people's heads to tickle their souls, putting self-image in front of goals, paid in metals of steel but unable to feel the supple cords of the ambiguity machine. Sunning itself later, the lizard turned and winked and cared the least.
Oh. Thank you, Joey. How'd you meet Jack, Joey?
I was putting on poetry readings in Long Beach, and I went to somebody else's poetry reading, and there was Jack Brewer. He read, and I remembered Saccharine Trust, and when Pagan Icons was one of the first albums I listened to when I went into my hardcore, not after the punk rock, my hardcore kind of listening. And I go, that guy, I got to have him in one of my poetry readings. I went right up to him and just bothered him and bothered him until he said, okay, yeah, I'll do a little poetry over there, and then
where's over there?
It was at about First and Linden, the 11-7 Gallery in Long Beach. On Linden Avenue.
Try to get me on a weeknight. I get the 5 in
the
morning.
Jack's working for the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, then I realized his star power, and I booted him up to the weekends.
I realized my blue collar.
So you both are realized men. Jack, will you read us a poem before we get into Brother Matt's spin cycle, which we're going to have the opportunity to get some jam collab with the Groovage. Okay, cough up all them mocos.
Okay, you mind if I do a song lyric set? I guess it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, this. Let me give the origins of this.
You gonna give the origin?
Some deal went bad. About 10, 12 years ago.
Wouldn't be Pedro without them motherfuckers and their dick extenders.
Reggie Rector.
Right. Guitarist for Secret Hate.
Yeah. I heard for years that he had died, but now I'm hearing that he's still alive.
That's I heard too.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to borrow some money, and my wife didn't want to lend it to him. So he just went into the dresser and took the money.
Oh.
We hadn't seen him for a year. So he came knocking on the door once. He was bleeding. His hand was cut. I guess he had some trouble. And he was bleeding and he was hungry. So we let him in and fed him and cleaned up his wounds and such. And he's sitting there complaining, telling me how, you know, people just don't care, man. People just don't care. And I said, well, Reggie, it kind of seemed to me like when you stole that money from us that you just didn't care. And he said, well, you don't understand. I was on a different plateau.
There's less caring on that plateau.
Yeah. So that gave, okay.
Anyway.
So I wrote this.
This is for Reggie. So it's one of these little warm, glowing, feel-good kind of things.
Yeah. No kinder soul did I ever know would have sought to trouble had I somewhere else to go. Your charity, charity to me, you are blessed with charity. Trustful friend, when I'm in need again, self-sufficient, working mentor, as sweet as a word please. These streets are rugged and have towed me back to you again. I have nothing, nothing have I lost but my pride, and now that is yours. Set me on your couch, so warm and soft. My feet will stand again when they can or must. Till then, could you open up a can of beans and a nice cold beer? Oh, but the world is cold too. Buddy, I'll drink to you and your warm heart that houses me. From vagrancy, I decree I'll protect you from anybody but the police. Yeah, I'll do anything to you. No, wait, man. What I meant to say was I'd do anything for you, not anything to you. Now, don't bring up the past unless it's for last. Didn't I teach you not to hold grudges? I was on a different plateau. You're just too decent. You would never know. Some bad men from down south were trying to take me out for what they say I owe them. And I know you are more forgiving. Hey, I was on a different plateau. You would never understand. You always said yes. You just give and give. You never ask. And would you have caught on any other way? Yeah, things could have gotten worse had I not gotten to you first. Man, these streets are for rodents, and I even owe them. But my gratitude is always with you. I'll never take offense to your hesitance. Yeah, I was on a different plateau when I stole your collectibles. But I'll pay you back, my friend. Before you stop aging, I know you never trust me the same, but you will trust me again.
Thank you, Jack. And now, Brother Matt, the July 9, 2006 edition of the Spin Cycle.
Self-righteous concubine who confronted poetry, hardback press, clear windowsill, against the entire light she sent, annotating the backyard wilderness. where we played in meadowy trees, slaves to pretend my brother then was me. He hurled acorns down through dusty leaves and took my bells, introduced torture to small and frivolous corners and carved open. We were orphans. Monday is my complaining father, always hard working and defending, by the ornery cries of anemic ties, his colorful eyes paint the crook to the neck, with no true taste on our lips. Would be called wedding day, when all days that began the week join with all days that end the week, all things that begin to marry all things that end. The beginning completes the end, the end looks to the beginning, the end to the beginning, until Saturday, our morning's latent to rival brides awaken. My concubine waits for this poem.
Overdubbed over track. No train has a studio. They play it back. Put in more attack as the soundproof walls wail for more. Entering the studio door, there's more than we mortals fear. If we could bend yet another person's ear, the treble tinny, the bass is the horse's whinny. The oriental raga blasts through the purple haze. As my mind blasts a full page, not of rage, but of sage belief and thought, as the walls caught the note, sent it, ever beating through the night, through the woods, notwithstanding, landing on a chocolate bar, in the car, going 10 to the bar. The sand is raising a little molecule of its own, the microcosm of the vertigo.
Pennywise, paying attention now. Rattle stumps serenaded into the night. Bright music makes worlds silent. Rising music makes the night squawk. Thank you.
as a blind dressed in mind sets that sign of death with color mesh. Picture is hung, another taken down. But with kind words, a kind verse, a rhyme curse, I speak the heart. The sun a mutter, thoughts a gutter, spark of clutter, please mother. See the person next to you, ask if respect is due. Is his sanity true? What does he lay claim to? Whom does he quote, paraphrase, note, call to consult with rash anecdote? Put the poetry on hold. Let's discuss the dollar bill. Have you enough to make me feel that I can buy back my soul? With creativity on hold, we speak the days of old and how we lived better before we got the fever. I'm living indoors, my life is yours. Please no talk of war or who I voted for. I dream of your touch when your mind resurface. Will you remember my love was not staved off?
The CEO over all. I rule everywhere. Lots of folks are scared. I'll cut the wages. I'll put in a pool. Cut the insurance. And buy some more new cars. I'm the most powerful man on earth. It's my right. From birth. Who's that I see in the distance? I remember him. I signed a deal with him a long time back. Ha-ha, you think you're bad. Yes, you really do, but that ain't nothing compared to what I got planned for you. The devil, you say? I'll cut your pay. I won't have to make amends in any way, because I know I have that pool. I'll just sit back in the back room of hell and chill out and order another drink. Because you know, I've got a asbestos kiddie pool for the lake of fire. I bought it with my company, and that it's all it means to me.
Farewell, harbor master, you wait after all, to guide the big ships in your port of call. Oh, the rope makers idle, the cafes are gone, but the waves are still breaking, singing your songs. The big lines have containers and the ships that they load, and the grand cargo cranes have their own railroad. The tonnage is rising, the ships fill the bays. But you never have worked like you had in the days. The sea saw your rise and the dollar your fall. No more calls to the job from the old union hall. All your days are spent quiet, you look out to sea. You wait for a job that there for you just can't be. Farewell, harbor master, you wait after all. The guy the big ships in at your port of call. All the road makers idle, the cafes are gone, but the waves are still breaking, singing your song.
I don't
years of our lives, waiting for some uprise.
another revival to peak the things we used to believe. But that was the most fun I ever had. Rather than not, we were had. Best era of our lives. Didn't we open eyes? Or at least we kept them guessing. Lost in frames of reference. Artists invent sensations. Entertainers repeat them. And that's how we set standards. To be met or ignored. But it's not as easy as that. Because we can still laugh. Even if we didn't know what we were doing. We knew it was us doing it.
A view from Long Beach. Driving over the bridge, the lights, the fog, humid hillsides, and people in a laid-back hurry. San Pedro, the cliffs, the port, the hip, the desolate.
Roller to be red, green, action, go. Pink, black, big power punch, flow. Rat tail around the floor, go-go. Big tail and fishnet, powers a full blow. Down in tangles, charred up heap. Fights break out, shots are cheap. Roller derby, queen action firm. Powerful legs, jamming the turn. Pivot leads an obstinate attack. Block and breakthrough for the attack. Solid block sends the girl flying. Anyone can see they're really trying. To give us some punishment fierce, the physical armor they tried to pierce. Solid wall of bodies jamming through, fell on the crowds, wouldn't want to be you. Jammers, skaters, blockers, legs pass off for skaters sling out, and just on torque. Points scored when the lady breaks through, points for the crowd when they kick ass too. Around the oval they scream, a skirt flipping gorgeous scream. Down and dirty but not out, taking the win and another bout. Winners in my heart, they sure be. Go get them, girls. Roller derby, roller derby.
Myself, retwine my apparel, rechannel my suicide, but refer to wait rather than seek the inevitable. So say my living friends, I'd never extend to them the warmest handshake. Part of me, Greyfoot like, high fives morbid troops, laughingly lyricizing their funeral marches, always gleeful, the half smile, strenuous. In search of the vital, yes, the fortress where maudliners and feigners of denial walk hand in handedly their stifled beat, and leading to encompass sleep and dream of early morning novas, the invention of wings to escape the walls of tribunal leaves, and saddened innovators, measurements are pronounced inaccurate. And cannot now identify with their shells. And my eyes are ancient, in my mythological arrays, my externalisms astray. Take me, spirit, take me, spirit, already lost, if frigid, winner of souls. I do love you, oh, of your mind of minds. I entrust my rust-encrusted sword. I will slay no whore that is a goddess if we find in heaven's arrest. Only the dying understand dying, not death. So how can I explain empathy? Me, chained to a cloud, apt to be devoured or cleansed with the sages from shapely sisters of the shaman as he nods. The key to the harem will not unlatch your shackles. And brave and proud, the hereditary heartbreak, so solemn to seduce, an excuse to induce the misuse of permanency. Return now! Set the borders of your thought onto earthenware and eat heartily of your awareness. No sacrifice necessary, but cut deep into the stakes of your arenas.
Trojan War, puppet show, when you're in the open grave, pass of glory, Pharaoh's story, you'll be my slave in the shallow grave. Check, please, I'm gone. The waiter was too slow. I'm in the open grave. And that's the end of the show.
If my mom left the world without becoming a playful child close in my heart, I would feel myself falling into an endless black pit, unable to count the days or even remember the ones I wasted, trying to distance myself from the damage. I assumed guilt and denial and cut myself off in the path of night. No, no, I cannot let this spell the pattern of the end. Let not this black gloom shatter my days and prevent me from reaching out to her. As a young man, I ran. Now I'm too old to run. Life is not a senseless rebellion. It is growing large into the light and dust of eternity, where we take our place, treasured object on the windowsill, subsumed within the essence of time. We're on an endless spring day. We speak together with love, innocent and eloquent, drawing with a sober pride from the well of wisdom, close to each other, nurturing a calm, quiet joy that touches the earth and around them, brings forth a sea of life. It blooms and explodes, and from it we spring. And that mantle, but tortured and our chains, we fought in anguish at the lack of reason, at the fear that could destroy us. Brutally arranged, untiring forces arrayed against us, separating us. But we breathe, life pushing to form, heaven sent. Each one of us, the breath is love. Stripped of all else, this is what she brought me. It calms my spirit, reminding me of her. Living close and eating like I do, we cannot be torn from a relentless world. We have given it life, our life. If my mom left the world without her souls merging again, a part of me would die, just to catch up with her and rush her to lift her away from the scorn, to hold up, not to evil. We would push it away from us. I would push her to the night light, dusty light, where we could spread among the stars and become the gentle night and give ourselves to others. I cannot let her go unacknowledged. I have glimpsed the pit and could not be falling there. We would return as children from life's lessons and love of your essence. And that given sweetness to our breath, teaching us we are precious as life together, and thus we forget. That is insanity in the 21st century. 12-101.
Glory is unsound. Those who believe, act. Those who think they believe, preach. So if we're not actors, we are pastors. None without rhetoric. Please don't interrupt me again.
Specters of wolfmen were chasing me as I ran out to the balcony. Should I stay or should I jump? 1, 2, 3, go. I jumped down to the floor below. Well, I met my landlord. Man, he did blow. He said things to me that weren't very good at all. It was back in the school days, now I shout. And he drove a yellow school bus out. With a heart carved in the back of his head and Vietnam memories still to dread. He was just panning for gold instead of bread. And every word I say is true. Every word, every sentence, every letter that spells the words, every punctuation and every apostrophe that I'm telling you right now is true, right down to the spacing of the paragraphs and the pausing for breath. Everywhere I say is true.
It's a long time back when I thought I would. When I went to try, I really did. Going through my little younger days, all my sassy little friends and their strange little ways. Try a little harder, do not let them shove you away. Try to understand why they laugh that way. I should have laughed like that. Ha 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 ha. I really should have laughed like that if I only could. Should have laughed like that, well if I only could. I should have felt like I could have taken the teasing. Stood up and given it back for flow and releasing. Did not know it was not only me, it was every day and everyone like me. So I was left outside. I should have known that we all get shoved on and picked on too. Should have laughed like that, ha ha, I know. I would have laughed like that if I only could. Should have laughed like that if I only could. Should have laughed like that, I really should. I really think the joke is on me. All my friends saw what I could not see. And my sisters, when they sent me to school, taught me about things that they couldn't tell me. I should have laughed like that, I really should. I want to laugh like that, I really should. I want to laugh like that, now that I can laugh. I should have laughed like that, I wish I should have laughed like that, I really do. Now I'm older and I count up the days, all of the things I did wrong. All of the things I did very wrong. And all I know, that was not enough. If I had a little more, all of these people poking at me. They were trying to bring me in and I did not see. Should have laughed like that, if I only could. Should have laughed like that, well I really should. Should have laughed, ha ha ha. I wanna be in ya, I wanna be in that. I really laughed. I really laugh like that, but I want to laugh like that. Ha 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 ha. Should have laughed like that. Ha 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 ha.
the shortest safe route to the liquor store, the one that takes pennies and sells cigarettes by the signal. Walk me through the territorial linguistics, and I'll assure you the Spanish were here first, and raped and pillaged with much more affection. Now learn to read color and say yes with your eyes closed. Learn the passionate syntax, the moon that howls back at us, the throwing stones reach, the climbing trees talk, the dustiness of actual touch, and you too will have the courage of a dead man. Further past the harbor, on your guardian Spaniard, the immigrant of your inner seeing, do not torch these jungles without me. The natives are ignorant to your means.
Of a musician who lives on a golden cloud. But here's the truth, and I'll tell you what, it sure don't do you proud. Been through the come on and play with us, we don't have any gigs and we're just stringing you along. And I've also been through the let's go record and then we'll try to steal your song. And I've been through the play live for free and get no pay, and the owner gets you wrong. It's a portrait of a musician who lives on a golden cloud. But here's the truth, and I'll tell you what, it sure don't do you proud.
The first thing I notice going into an empty schoolyard is the slap and the ring of cables and chains on metal posts. Through the clear of the dark, they're calling to me. They're ringing for me. They have been ringing for me and been calling for me, calling and calling for ages. In the quiet field I stand, knowing not its emptiness nor mine, but hardly a friend I head out. Across emptiness, where are the stars? Where are the hands to hold? Someone to tell my life to, just another quiet room, and what I carry, all this emptiness. A quiet turmoil leaves signs of the mind, debris I left on the storm's quiet shore. Don't damn me without knowing the good or the bad you may find. From my desk comes eloquence, and the beauty of all this emptiness. On a quiet lake I grasp this beauty. I want to share it with you. I want to pull you away from the others. Just get your attention, then you might pull me away from all this emptiness.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. That was the Sorta Quartet with When Cousins Marry. That's a song you picked, Jack, right?
Yeah.
What was that about? No, I mean, why did you pick it?
Oh.
You got to know. You got to at least have a hint about that.
Oh, I guess because I'm on it.
No, you don't always have to pick a tune that
I'm
you're part of, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you just picked it because you're a fan.
Yeah.
And before that, we had Brother Matt and Spin Cycle collaborating.
Yeah, cool getting the words in there.
Getting the
Thank
beats
you.
In there with the spoken word with Mr. Jack Brewer, Mr. Joe Brewer.
Joey Coffin.
Mr. Joey Coffin from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Some of that was on the wing. I saw you with no paper.
Yeah, well, you know, I just top of the dome and, you know.
Let the freak flag fly.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm into it.
Like the Pedro view from Long Beach.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of the second hour of the July 9th, 2006 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. July 9th, 2006. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
La esperanza de los desesperados. La revolución es la esperanza de los desesperados. It's in the cracks in the sidewalks, cracks in the windows. It's in the lines on your face. It's a presence as close as your breathing, whiskey scented, as you sit upright and smiling. And the lines round your mouth tell of sadness, but your eyes show little. Glazed and unfocused, they stare mechanically at the graffiti burned out buildings. Flicker little as crack of money exchange outside the window. Stare vacant as the young ancient crack whore fights with her man, and her baby cries in a shopping cart filled with blankets and old papers. La revolución es la esperanza de los desesperados. La revolución es la esperanza de los desesperados. Trapped and cannot return. But what's so wrong to want a good life, an honest life, a worthwhile life? And what's wrong with laughter and a smile to your neighbor? And what's wrong with wanting clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and food to eat? And what's wrong with wanting the sweet, honest love of another? And I say it is your birthright. And I say it is the will of our Maker that we should have all this. But alas, greed of man that pollutes it. Wakes you to the present as you stand, fold your paper, descend to the sidewalk, song from the old days playing in your hair. Stepping so carefully to avoid the crack, step on a crack, break your mama's back, step on a crack, break your mama's back. La Revolución is life for Antedulos, desperados. La Revolución is life for Antedulos, desperados. La Revolución is life for Antedulos, desperados. The revolution is the hope of the desperate people.
What from Pedro Show? That's Katie Souljack with La Revolución. Jack, that's the song you picked?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was a good friend of ours, and part of our family. Coffee house. Someone who's played a lot of coffee houses and reading. So I thought that should be a good lead-in back into.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
What's she doing now?
She's living in New Zealand. She's back out in New Zealand.
Selling her daughter?
No, her daughter's in L.A. It's been a while since we've seen or heard from her. She sang on the Jack Brewer Band records.
Yeah.
It's one of the Brewer Rats.
Okay.
Now, I was just listening. I just heard her the other day on my 400 CD spin cycle stereo. Oh, I gotta bring the CD.
Well, back to the story of Sacred Trust. We left off at Pig and Icon. Well, we really didn't finish that. Do you? Because that's your first album in the studio. You want to talk about that session?
Yeah, I remember.
Why did you ask Mike Watt to be part of the thing?
I thought you were just there. I thought you were. We didn't know what we were doing. We need someone to come in and show us what a studio was, and
the yard, I think,
huh? Yeah, where you plug things.
Here in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah, and someone to listen. You used something about punk rock, or you used something about the English bands that Joe was listening to at that time.
So that came out. Then you did Four Tours of Black Flag.
Yeah.
Got to have some stories.
Yeah. There are some stories I can tell and some I can't, I guess. I remember hanging out with Henry. That was. It was kind of strange and kind of hard. He was always pretty tensed up. And we were in the van with 8 people, and to have one guy that's really constantly tense, and I'm like,
well, he's the out of town guy, right? He's from
yeah, saying. And I'm like, dude, the gig ended 3 hours ago, the show's over, relax. But there was just no relaxing or something, and he really got angry a lot at that time. I mean, now I've corresponded with him, and he's pretty nice guy. He's mellowed out a lot.
You think in those days there was a little rivalry?
I didn't see it. Maybe that. I know during the shows we really pushed him, and anything that he could do was already done before before he went on stage.
Well, you wanted him to choke on your smoke.
I don't know. Either.
No, I think it was healthy.
I thought it was too. We really pushed it. I was more relaxed, more natural, you know. And I liked having to fight the audience back then. That's one thing I do miss. Is even people come see us and they like us, but.
There's no fighting.
Yeah. I'm not fighting to convince them that we deserve to exist. They've accepted the idea and concept, no matter how we grow with it. But maybe they're older and tired too, and you know they spent their money. If they don't like it, they're gonna make themselves think they like it. It's hard. It's expensive going out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you came upon this period where you did Surviving You Always. And there's a different bass player, too. Is it Mark?
Yes.
And different drummer. Is it Bobby Holtzman?
Yes. No, that was Tony Cicero then.
That's right, Tony Cicero. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mark left the band to join us, the Circle Jerks. Robert Holzman left apparently to go back to school.
He's the pagan icon.
He didn't. And at that time, even though I loved the guy, I really wasn't complaining because he was this guy who really liked picking on people a lot. And I had my stutters, my nervousness, and he just loved messing with me every day. It got to a point where I was about to hit him, and then Earl would jump in, and I was ready to slug Earl. Just as I was about to slug Earl, he started having an asthma attack and sort of shaking and stuff. Oh, lucky break.
But Earl's out by this time, and you got Mark. Where'd you find Mark?
He was a friend of Joe Bizer. He played in a band called the Adapters.
Long Beach?
I believe so.
He's a good bass player.
Oh, yeah. It was a different style. He's played live.
Is that record available? It's out of print, huh?
It's on vinyl. I made some homemade CDs, and I mail them out to people when they ask.
That's a shame. That's a great record.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was an interesting time. I remember back then, I was so self-conscious about my singing that I was constantly taking singing lessons. I went to three teachers. Two of them had already given up on me. So I would sit there singing these scales and such, and I would drive away in my van because I was so nervous of anyone hearing me. I'd drive over by the factories and had this little clock that I would set, and I would set it, I would practice certain scales for 10 minutes at a time and such. So like 4 or 5 nights a week, I would be out there practicing.
On the clock.
Yeah, on this clock every single night. But somehow, even in the classes, I was able to sing the songs with the piano and such. But I just couldn't make it make sense with the music. I didn't realize that it was just that the music was so. I guess tuned differently.
Right.
As you could put it. At that time, we were singing these melodies, and even you had said to me at one time, you got to make things that the common guy can relate to. And
I think I was kind of projecting same advice I was getting.
Oh, okay.
Bebo said, you know, your words are too spacey. Why? They don't know what you're talking about. So I was kind of like putting on the D. Boone.
Oh, okay. That's where that came from.
That's why I actually read the landlady's note on Double Nickels, because I said, no, he's real enough, D. Boone. Not you shower.
Oh, man.
Just direct him.
Man.
Because what was all clear to me, obviously, was like trapped in my head. It wasn't getting out. To me, it was so transparent. But D. Boone said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he did have a knack for simplifying things.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't no
picnic.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, no blurriness, no fuzzy. You know what I mean? He had a good neck. For, where's your courage? You know?
Yeah.
And I would have something like, you know, well, I came up with Wee Jammy Connor. Yeah, but even Wee Jammy Connor, I must get asked, what does that mean? A thousand times, especially with the DVD out now. By the way, you did great in the YouTube, Brother Matt. Yeah, really. Because I wanted people who was actually there to speak about the times.
So
thanks so much for doing that. But like Wee Jammy Connor to me is so clear in my mind what that means.
Yeah.
These other folks.
I think it's a kind of Vans.
Yeah, of course. And it means obviously little monies, but it also could mean little skills, talents. Yeah. You know, you make what you can with what you have.
Yeah, and low budget. Jammy and I kind of felt like you guys, you actually invented this thing. Before then, there was these rock stars, millionaires, way in hell up there, and way below is these working guys just listen to music, and you guys kind of invented this middle thing where these guys play music just certain people listen to, but they make just enough money to have a you know, some sort of existence without the 10 10 women, naked women hanging around and all the the limousines and stuff. There's this, like, this is now this middle
realm
and it's not really something that you really want to strive for unless you really have your heart and to
music. Yeah, you gotta be a believer.
Yeah, because you go through all this heartbreak for and such. If you're just going to make the same amount of money you make working a regular job, you know? So, but it's good because there's just real music coming from people who really have their hearts in the music, because there always be people like me who are working who are so affected by that we can never take in that crap. When I was younger, I was able to absorb it, but I can't anymore, and I can't live without music.
Right.
No, I think you guys.
So, you go for another bass player after Surviving You Always, and I think your final Black Flag tour. And Bob Fitzer, and still with Tony Cicero on the drums, and you do the World Broken thing, and that's where I come aboard, and it's totally improvised. I had to make the stuff right up. I don't know if your poems were already written.
Couple of them were, but those are poems that a friend had given me. Like the one about the winter solstice.
Right.
And
some are like riffs on Bible stories too.
Yeah, and there's a page from the Bible, but a lot of these other ones I just made up on the spot, like the Sandbox, and actually. Most of those, except for the first one.
That's the realm.
Yeah, it just came out of my head.
Sandbox.
Yeah. And later on, I would listen to the record, write everything down, and then it kind of looked like a poem.
Yeah, right.
But then it was typeset. When things are typed, they look like.
And around this time is soon after Double Nickels on the Dimer, yourself and Joe contributed a couple songs. Yours was God Bows to Math.
Yeah.
And Joe's was Please Don't Be Gentle with Me.
And yeah. And I
thought that was important because we had so many songs. And I wanted it to go to different places, you know? Yeah. And your words really helped me musically, you know? Because with my own words, I would end up like track housing, and you guys would steer me different ways. It was important to me.
I mean, you guys did that a lot then. Let your friends.
That's right.
Write words.
It helped us out a lot.
Also, your friends felt like they were part of it.
We sincerely felt we were part of a movement. We did not really think we were above anything. I mean, we did things our way, but we were part of this team. So I think that even solidified it more. And you hardly see it written about, though. Especially the one we always get talked about a lot is Double Nickels on the Dime, but there's a lot of outside words, including Dukowski and Carducci, yourself, your cousin. I mean,
even Dirk, the guy who took the picture of the cover, you know, and there was all kinds of stuff. The landlady's note, you know, Mary McConnell, I think she's passed away now, but there was a lot of this, and it was part of this idea we had of inclusiveness. This was punk to us. It brought in weirdos, outside people, those lost in the parallel universes. And then maybe it helped them create their own, a lot of common ground between us. And also, with our, that's what art's for in a way, because even if you don't fit in so well at school, in the greater picture of humanity, there's so much common ground. At the same time, the individuality, like in your thumbprint. And so you got to embrace both somehow. And don't let one trump the other, or you get out of, the yang gets out of bounds with the yang. So, Bob Fitzer returns, and you do a record called We Became Snakes.
Yeah.
And who's on drums? Tony?
Yeah, that's Tony's sister.
Tony again, and then I'm brought in again as a producer guy. Guy to be in the studio with you.
Yeah, it was
with Ethan James.
Yeah, that's when things get a little tense because we came from art musicians.
Sure.
People were influenced by the artists in L.A. who didn't really know how to play, but they used their art skills to make the music, and then everyone's all. And 2 years later, we're a jazz band.
Yeah.
And we start developing technique.
So Bob Fitzer, great bass player. Some of the weird recording techniques. Like, there was a song called... you actually redid a song from a former album.
Oh, yeah, Effort to Waste.
Waste. And I remember the lights being off, and you climbing on the piano, and hitting yourself in the balls with the wrench, and then jumping off the piano. Mm.
And
hitting the deck, I mean, without hands to catch himself. So he just hit the deck. I heard the crunch on the mic.
Yes.
Because the ending reprise is pain is real.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to really get into that mode. Yeah,
I tried it
first. Not just keep it in the abstract.
Yeah. But the kind of the pretentious poetry, right? Typical Jim Morrison, deep voice poetry type of thing.
Why did you do that too?
It wasn't my idea. It was Joe and
John.
And you point, hey, there's no pain in the song, you know, no pain in the vocals, and so I said, okay, I'll show you. So I went in there, I started whacking myself in the nuts as hard as I could, and I could hear if you listen to like the second. First, kid, here you walk into the studio trying to stop and say, Jack!
Yeah, right.
Hear your voice in there. But I could hear,
oh! And then fly it off the piano. He had his beat up standing piano.
And I wanted the rhythms to come in different weird places. Because at first it was just too set, and if I thought hit myself,
that'll make it stutter.
Magic, yes,
that'll break it up. Gossos in the cojones. No problem.
Crunch.
Yeah.
But with this album, you actually tour on your own.
Oh, yeah, and the band got so loud then.
Yeah.
Because we're all, you know. Musicians or something, but it was so loud I never heard myself, and they thought I didn't hear myself. I didn't have to. I said, all you're doing is just not yet. No, I said, no, I have to hear myself. I need to, you know, be able to project certain ways and feel, and feel the music, make it work. But then, so no, you're not here. So they turned up. I was just yelling and screaming. I couldn't really do anything. I couldn't really. It was a mess. The last tour for me was kind of a nightmare.
Who did the cover for that album? That artwork.
It's not Gary Jacoboli.
That's right.
Yeah. But now these days we the
is
band.
Is that album in print?
It's on CD. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because the Saccharine Trust stuff. I'm sorry, I don't have it here. Do you have any?
Oh yeah, I got.
Did you bring some here?
Yeah, I got burns of it and stuff.
Got to play some.
Oh, okay.
You got to play some. In fact, I did something with the violin player. This guy did. His name's Chris Murphy.
and he had to record it with Nels Klein, and I guess Nels told him, hey, you should call Watt up, and try it out. And this guy plays with a bunch of different guys. In fact, what he does, he makes albums of every genre that he can to get his thing on. So I got a kind of a blues thing song thrown at me up in some apartment in Hollywood a couple months ago. And we'll play that right now. It's Mark Pedro Show.
Quiver. are afraid of the emergency broadcast system looks on. Not for long, not for long. The world cries like a dying man. The league of nations gripped with bleeding hands. She died. I would have laughed in my sleep if someone had asked me what chance have we. I tried to call you, but there was no answer. Nothing that explained everything. It's just enough to make me think. Well, you said we should hope for more, but the pain only grows to show.
Oh!
Go there.
Had to come down. Had a whole bunch of sack there. What was I doing not playing it beforehand? Here's, you go, Jack. Because, but maybe it's good that Jack got to talk about the band before, yeah, you actually hear it. And what we heard there was a lot of incarnations. What we've been speaking of, starting with the first version, which had Joe Baez on guitar, Jack Brewer on singing, Richie Wilder on drums, Louis.
Mad Max.
Louis. Yeah, he had different names.
Yeah, he
changed it to Mad Max.
Yeah, he became Mad Max at that time.
And he was on bass. And that was Hearts and Barbarians, the first tune. And then, well, actually, we played Chris Murphy in a song called, what's that called there? Blues for Bukowski. Yeah, right. Pedro. Played that. But after that, we played Saccharine Trust's first incarnation, Hearts and Barbarians, 1980, off the Cracked Sidewalk. And then we heard a song from Pagan Icons, their first record on their own, a tune called Effort to Waste, and it's Joe Baez on guitar, Jack Brewer singing. Bass is Earl Liberty, and drums is Bobby Holtzman.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we heard Remnants from Surviving You Always,
yes.
And that's got Joe Baez on guitar, Jack Brewer singing, bass so,
Mark Hodson on bass.
Hodson on bass, and Tony Cicero on drums.
Yes.
And then we heard another version of Effort to Waste from the album We Became Snakes, and that's Bobby Fitzer on bass, Tony Cicero on drums,
yes.
Jack Brewer singing, Joe Baez guitar.
Steve Moss on sax.
Right. A lot of ambient sound aiding us here.
Summertime.
And Pedro. And you can't have a motorbike coming down Pacific Avenue unless it's in full dick extender mode. So... I leave tomorrow for 13 days. This is the last show for a couple weeks. I got Stooges gigs in Greece, Switzerland, Italy, and Portugal. Right, we get to do the Montreux Jazz Festival.
Yeah,
40th year anniversary. But anyway, back to Saccharine Trust. So there's a lot of problems with the We Became Snakes tour, Saccharine Trust headlining tour.
Yeah, well, for me it was a sound. I actually rented some monitors. And from Rat Sound, and I wasn't there when the van was loaded. I was at work, and only half of the monitors were loaded on the van. And we brought this guy to do sound that just didn't do well and just didn't understand it, and the sound was really bad every night. And I may have been just too tense, not relaxed enough to flow with it as I can do these days. There weren't a lot of people. As if
you, what year is this?
I think 85, 86.
Yeah, because Firehose was torn. It had to be after 85.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we played a gig together, I think, in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Or Tallahassee or somewhere in Florida. Place called CA Labs, yeah. I remember. Yeah. God, was it humid.
Yeah. The band
was great, but I could tell there was tension in the band.
I was happy with the crowds, but at that time, all the other bands were getting successful and making money and such, and the guys in the band were bitter or just wanted to make money. They wanted to be like all the bigger SST bands. But no, we were Saccharine Trust. We're the outfit. We do what we do.
But you know what? You guys were...
But that was it.
I don't think it was because you were kind of starting out on your own. You were doing your own tours. If you would have stuck it out...
Yeah, exactly. As I was...
I know you would have did it. What happened with us in the Hooskers and Meat Puppets, we had already started out on our own a little earlier. So that's why we had to jump on you a little bit. Even though you guys go way back. Yeah. I think opening for Black Flag was great for you. To get around, but as far as getting your own thing, it might have delayed things a little. But it would have came for you.
Yeah, probably so. As I start to tell the story, I remind you that we just weren't that good at doing the footwork or promotion and stuff like that. We thought promoting yourself as a non-artistic concept. You know, we're too vain to promote ourselves or something. We're
not vain enough.
We didn't do that stuff.
Everybody's got their own path, so you know what I mean? But it was sad that the band fell apart, right? That's the last tour.
At that time, but I just could, if we did do what the other bands had gone out on their own, because I felt that...
Well, you were starting to.
I felt that the tour was good, and we just need to keep doing it. I'm sure it was like that for everybody's first tour.
That's right, I can testify.
Only difference is they had the sense to break off from Black Flag a lot sooner and go on their own, like the Meat Puppets did and such. And that is why they were doing well, making a living on it, but I think the band members thought it was the sound. We weren't enough of that common thing, or didn't have.
Well, maybe for an instant appeal. That, you know, has instant go away power too.
Yeah.
So by you guys, only my opinion, but by having a distinctive sound, maybe it takes a little more. But then it is for the long run, because it is distinctive. See, but you got to put in the kind of footwork there
and
some doors, right?
I mean, it can be done, but I can't see it being done now these days. Just because when we're younger, it's easier to leave the apartment and just pay the rent and just come back and stay on somebody else's couch or something. And
couch tour.
So
the band falls apart.
Yeah.
And you guys start, Joe Biza goes on his Universal Congress mission. And what was the other name? There was another name, too, he had for it.
After
Mechalodiacs, right, with Ralphie. And,
yeah, but they were local band.
Right, but he even goes and makes a career almost out of playing Germany alone and stuff.
So he goes out.
You kind of back up, but you have a Jack Brewer band. You do some other... You stayed involved musically.
Yeah, I started with a band called Sandbox, which was acoustic music. And
this is like 86, 87?
Right away, I felt like I could. There were people that couldn't get moving and touring and stuff, and not only that, so many years before I had to get a job or a regular career. Then I started the Jack Brewer band,
right?
And I just couldn't get it going to where it could play out other town.
But then in the early 90s, Saccharine Trust is reformed.
Yeah, it was I think late 90s, maybe 95, we started.
Yeah, middle 90s, I'm sorry.
Some touring. But,
and then that version has Joe Biza on guitar, yourself on singing.
Yeah.
Bass.
Is Chris Stein?
Chris Stein.
Not the guy from Blondie.
No.
Okay.
From Simi Valley.
Yeah.
And the drumming was...
Brian Christopherson.
Brian Christopherson.
And
you guys go make an album in Germany at this studio called Hazelwood.
Yes.
And... yeah, the band's brought together maybe after 7 years. Now, what was that like?
Well, I remember the records were coming on CDs, and that's the idea of putting the band together to play a show. And Joe had the idea of, let's just restart the band just for the sake of just blowing people's minds. It's like, that sounds like a good idea. And I mean, I think we all really realized that we weren't going to have the same goals, that we were just going to do it just for the purpose of the music.
Which is probably the best way, anyway. At the heart of it, you know? Some kind of integrity.
Yeah, and when, even when my sisters asked me, so why, also, you guys doing, what are you doing? So what are you doing? And why are you doing this? I don't know, it's more like a calling to me. I don't know why.
At the end of the day, you don't have to explain yourself when it comes to expression.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got so much control on our life, can't we have?
Yeah, exactly.
one little outlet, you know, and yes. So it's playing with your buddy. So what? But see how the minds are formed. Yeah. Everything's got to be a career move.
Yeah.
Even outsiders who aren't even in this racket are tricked into the same thing.
Yeah.
A paradigm.
And we are really, really good friends. You know, we're best buddies.
Right.
We do enjoy.
So you have a connect.
Yeah, we do enjoy doing this together a lot.
Way of expressing.
Yeah.
But then it dissolved a little bit, and it comes back. With Richie Hayes.
Yeah, Richie Hayes.
Now, who I know from
Zeus Riff. I was a big Zeus Riff fan.
He's kind of into Zappa.
Yeah.
Beef Heart and stuff.
Yeah.
And he plays Vibes. Now, the Vibes, really intense dimension compared to the old sack. Now, we've got a track we're going to play here from the 95 reformed Hazelwood sack, and then we got some brand new stuff with Richie.
Yes, we have one song recorded about a year and a half ago. Though we have about 9 songs that are ready to record. We're going to probably start working on that soon.
Well, you know, no wine before it's time.
Exactly. You know. Time just rolls off our backs.
Especially in the middle age, huh?
Yeah.
We know this more now.
No, Russ, it's got to be good.
Can't hurry love.
Yeah, you don't get no chance at that.
Sharp, but secrecy to whom it is confided. What? What engulfed creature told me that I could love, that I could speak its linguistics into the lightnings of the sun?
Classic star!
You are more lovable,
and I am.
Laughing for you, called me bitter. You were thrashing instead of basking in the salts of past revolt. You uprise clutter.
We spent the best years of our lives waiting for a strong uprise.
Milk. And butter type, you convert it to, or did they convert you with their hard-earned checks that paid for your voice and acting lessons? But I even knew you when the stars were your ceiling, the sky you imprisoned. As you brave the rafters, structure and column gave way.
Another revival of pity, the things we used to believe.
To dangerous applause and healing. But that was when you had meaning, and were less than meaning, and had forgotten what it's like to affect unsolicited, barred by statistics and search of truth. I have to warn you for that too. It was backward, punk was gold, success was cold, at least then when you stole my song. But you were faking then, cause you're faking now. But you had me fooled somehow. But I didn't know you then, I only knew you when, after you called me bitter. So spare us your memoirs, memorabilia you auction. All I look for in you is correspondence.
Best era of our lives, didn't we open eyes? At least we kept them guesses, lost in frames of reference. Artists invent sensation, entertainers repeat them. Not as easy as that, but we can still laugh. If we didn't know what we were doing, we knew it was us doing it.
All right, Watt from Pedro Show. Saccharine Trust, up to date. The most recent thing, on your behalf, with Chris Stein on the bass, Joe Bison guitar, Jack Brewer singing, Richie Hayes on vibes and drums.
Brian Christopherson. Brian Christopherson,
yeah. Sorry, Brian. Didn't need space.
Yeah.
And before that, we had Untitled, The Creative Fluxation. From the Hazelwood Sessions in 95. So that's a brief history of Saccharine Trust and Jack Brewer's voyages with her. And promising things you're going to record with the new five-man lineup and stuff coming up.
Oh, yes.
Jack was just saying
some of the best songs ever written.
Yeah, I believe so.
Great.
Best songs ever
Jack,
written.
It's really been an honor and privilege to have you on the show. I know I've promised you many, many times, and now finally you've done it, and I want to have you back for more.
Yeah,
and
excellent.
Good luck with the poems and
thanks
stuff.
For the words.
Brother Matt, of course, you. Yeah, the words. Brother Matt with the Aid and Abet with the show here, and that was cool, you collaborating with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And
cool.
Cousin Joe Brewer and
Joey
Coffin from Long Beach are out
strolling some
trying
city.
To get burgers at Walker Cafe, so we'll say thank you on their behalf, because their spirit's only left here. Damn, sorry. Let's see, July 9th, 2006 version of edition of the Lot Fever Show. I'll be back in 2 weeks after some Euro Stooges. Keep your powder dry.